Pianist Nadia Shpachenko is here with me talking about her latest release. It's called The Poetry of Places, and I should mention that she's fresh off her Grammy Award win for Best Classical Compendium. Congratulations to you, Nadia.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored and so excited.
Yeah, I imagine it's been a bit of a whirlwind for you over the past few days.
Definitely.
Yeah, you had not only the win, but I guess you played at the party the night before, huh?
Yes, I played on Friday. There was a Grammy weekend event for which I played. And then after I won, I was just talking to so many different reporters. And I have a concert coming up this Thursday, this Friday, and then a recording session on Sunday. So this week is overwhelming, but really wonderful.
Well, it's very kind of you to make time to talk to us about the new recording.
Oh, I'm thrilled to talk to you.
Well, it's called The Poetry of Places. This is a really interesting novel idea that sort of launched this compendium. I wonder if you could tell us about it.
So in 2015, I was invited to perform a recital on the Pianosphere series, and the concert was going to be in the gorgeous building, the Walt Disney Concert Hall at Red Cat at Walt Disney Concert Hall. And that building was designed by architect Frank Gehry, whose work I have admired for many years. And I was given funds to commission a few composers to write pieces for that concert. And I wanted that concert to launch a new project. So I got together with those few composers and we brainstormed and we talked about what was meaningful to us in terms of ideas for a theme, because I always like my albums to have a theme, a connecting theme for the pieces. And it turned out that we, all three of us, so the composers were Harold Meltzer and Louis Spratlin. Those were the first two composers I spoke to about this album. So the three of us were great admirers of architecture. In fact, Louis Spratlin actually wrote an opera before on the work of architect Louis Kahn, and he always wanted to set Louis Kahn's buildings in Bangladesh, the government center buildings, to music. And composer Harold Meltzer also wrote a few architectural pieces, but neither one of them wrote architectural pieces about, neither one of them wrote architectural pieces for piano. So this was a very interesting idea for them to explore, and we decided that since I was going to be performing in such a great and beautifully designed venue, Harold Meltzer always wanted to set another Frank Gehry building to music, and that's the IAC building in Manhattan, also by Frank Gehry, and it also looks like a tall ship in full sail. So there are some similarities between these two buildings. So that's kind of what started this project, and I reached out to other composers I really admired. And I talked to them about the possibility of writing architecture-inspired works. And I let them choose buildings that were really meaningful to them, that spoke to them. And each composer chose a building that was meaningful in a different way. Some were inspired by the architecture. Some were inspired by how the building is used, what impact the building has on the people who use it and on the landscape around it and the city and the country where it's in. Composer Jack Van Zandt, for example, chose one of the world's oldest buildings. It's more than 5,000 years old, New Grange or Sheehan Brew in Ireland. And composer Amy Bess Kirsten chose the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore, and she was really moved by the exhibit that was there, the Hope exhibit, which exhibited artworks of artists that survived tremendous trauma. And then composer Hannah Lash chose the Aaron Copland house where she was.
Well, it's really interesting. And also the fact that they're so, each of the pieces are so different from each other.
Yes.
You mentioned that piece by Amy Beth Kirsten, which involves not only the piano, but also the toy piano. I saw a video of you playing both instruments at the same time, and you sing towards the end of it.
That's right.
What is the singing part that you're doing there? What is the text?
I am just singing, "Hang on, pain ends." So those are the words of the exhibit, the Hope exhibit. It's basically H for hang, O for on, P for pain, and E for ends. So it's Hope, but it's also Hang On, Pain Ends. And that was the actual exhibit that inspired this piece. So that's what it was called. It was in 2015.
Well, it's really interesting. And the toy piano really gives it a kind of an ethereal quality. You've played the toy piano before and recorded it before, haven't you? What's the fascination with that instrument?
I just love the sound of the toy piano, and I love working with composers who find very creative ways to use the toy piano and integrate it into the soundscape that they're creating. So for my first album, Woman at the New Piano, I asked composer Tom Flaherty to write a piece for toy piano, piano and electronics. And this was the first piece for this instrumentation of its kind at that time. And this piece itself, just the performance of that one piece, got its separate Grammy nomination in 2015. And that piece was just so imaginative, because Tom Flaherty also loves exploring the sound of the toy piano, the possibilities that it can add, the sounds that it can add to the overall aura of the piece. And he just does it in such creative ways. So I've been working with Tom Flaherty for many years. And so we have been exploring this. And then I also asked other composers to use the toy piano as well. So I had a toy piano on each of my albums in one function or another.
Well, you have other collaborators on this CD as well, including some percussion players. You want to mention the other people that assisted you on these tracks?
Definitely. They were so incredible to work with, and I'm so grateful to them for sharing their artistry with me and for being on this album. The pianist Joanne Pierce Martin is the pianist for the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and she recorded two pieces with me. So one of them was Colo Colbanina Sian for two pianos and electronics, and then for Frank's House by Andrew Norman, me and Joanne were joined by Nick Terry and Corey Hills. They're percussionists of the Los Angeles Percussion Quartet. And they performed on percussion that was actually handmade by Nick in collaboration with Andrew Norman. And the percussion was made out of materials that Frank Gehry's house is made of. So it's just such an imaginative and unusual piece, Frank's House. And I was very fortunate, because the six solo pieces were actually written specifically for me and for this album in 2015, mostly some of them in 2016. And then at the same time, Andrew Norman was commissioned by the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra to write an architectural piece, a piece about Frank Gehry's residence. And Joanne Pierce Martin was actually one of the people who premiered that piece. And then the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra gave me the rights to record the first recording of that piece. So I was so fortunate that I was able to collaborate with Joanne, who already knew the piece so well, and who is just such an incredible performer and human being. And just she was just an absolute joy to work with. And so were the percussionists. So we just had a blast. Definitely.
Yeah. Did I see that Andrew Norman was at the Grammy Awards also?
He was, and he came over. I wasn't sure, because actually the his work Sustain won for Best Orchestral Performance, And I didn't see him then, but then he came over and said hello, and I was so glad to see him. He was just also such a joy to work with. He has been so helpful and always responding and so enthusiastic and giving really good feedback and doing the photo session with me at Frank Gehry's house. And just he was just there every step of the way. He was just wonderful. And so were all the other composers. I was really, really fortunate to work with just such an amazing crew of composers, producers, engineers. Actually, my husband, Barry Werger, was the chief engineer on this project, and he won a Grammy as well for his engineering of this, and so did my producers. So it's just so special. It's a family project.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, you've talked about some of the composers on here so far. What were your conversations like with them? I mean, were they involved in the actual putting together of the music, or did they just hand it over to you? What was the give and take between you and the composers?
Oh, they were very deeply involved. So the composers who wrote the pieces fresh just for this album, we discussed the idea. They talked to me at different stages of their composition. They kind of ran things by me, sent me passages, asked me if they work well for piano. So that was a collaborative process even at the beginning stages. And then once they finished their pieces, they sent some to me, and I learned them sometimes very quickly, because some of the pieces were only finished a few days before the premiere. But then I also had 2 years to perform and tour them as well. Most of these composers actually came to most of the concerts whenever they could. They even flew in, or if they were local, they came to every concert. And then if the composer couldn't make it to a concert, I always recorded my performances, every single one of them, and I sent the recordings to the composers, and they always gave me feedback. So this was a really strong collaboration between me and the composer, because I always wanted to make sure I understood exactly what they were feeling, what they were trying to convey, what they were thinking when they were writing the piece. And they gave me feedback on the interpretation so that I would have the strongest interpretation that really conveyed their intentions.
That's not the kind of thing you can do with Beethoven or Mozart.
Unfortunately, that's why I love working with living composers, because it's so amazing to be able to ask the composer all these questions.
Well, let's talk a little more about your advocacy for new music. You know, we produce a syndicated new music show here, and I always tell people that new music is where you're going to find diversity, you're going to find women composers, composers of color, people who actually come from the cultures that they're portraying and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
What is your view of the role that new works
exactly
play in the whole canon?
I feel so passionately about promoting work by living composers. First of all, I enjoy it so much. I just enjoy the process of working with composers. But I also believe very deeply that classical music, to stay alive, to stay exciting, to stay relevant, and to offer something for future generations, really needs to produce constantly new works, and especially to incorporate music by minority composers, by women, by people of color. I mean, these composers were really underrepresented before, and we really need to change that. So I'm trying really hard to collaborate with a diverse body of creators and to promote their work. And I think that I'm hoping that in the end of this century, the next century, we will have a much more diverse body of work, compositions that will stay hopefully in the repertoire for centuries, and that will be much more representing of different cultures and different people, you know, not just the elite people. So I'm working really hard to promote these composers and to promote their work, and just to promote contemporary music, to get people excited about classical contemporary music, so that they get excited about classical music, because some people discover classical music through these new works that I perform sometimes. Like at my university, very often people, students who come to these concerts, they have never heard a classical concert. And then suddenly they get very excited and interested, and they just start exploring other classical works, and they widen their horizons and their taste. So if that happens, that's really my goal, and it makes me so happy.
Yeah, I was curious in your role as a professor. You teach at a couple of universities outside of Los Angeles.
I mainly teach at Calpoli Pomona University. That's my full-time job, so that's where I teach mostly.
So you're a professor at that university, and you see a lot of young people. You work with a lot of young people. What do you see is happening with young people in regards to classical music these days?
Well, at my university, the students are very eager to learn and very open-minded. And many of the students who come here don't have quite the experience that students who go to Juilliard, for example, have. They don't necessarily have the rigorous classical training. Some of them do, but they have much more diverse backgrounds. Some of them are first-generation college students. They like many different genres of music. They're interested in many different genres of music. So for me, this is kind of the perfect place to promote this kind of music, because these students, they are just so open and so eager to learn, and they're kind of taking it all in. And I always bring all these pieces that I'm learning, and I'm bringing the composers who I work with to talk to the students here, to work with them. I often assign pieces to my ensemble. I have a piano ensemble, and we play works from two pianists to 10 pianists. And I often commission composers to write works for my ensemble as well. So these students are exposed firsthand to the kind of work that I do, and so they can continue this tradition. So I feel like I'm in the perfect place. And I really enjoy working with the students here at Calpoli Pomona. And then I also go around and I offer master classes in many different colleges. I actually took my students to Juilliard and Mannes School of Music and Rutgers University last year. And we played this piece by Tom Flaherty called Time's Up for 10 pianists. And it was based on, the women's rights movement. And it was also written after the activism of the Florida shooting survivors. So it had a very relevant theme, to current events. So we were kind of addressing that. And the students prepared a presentation about the piece and talked about it, and with students and also with all different audiences. So I definitely do this with students as much as I, you know, perform myself. And I try to expose young people to this.
Well, the recording is called The Poetry of Places, new works by living composers inspired by actual places and architecture that has played a role in their lives. Pianist Nadia Shpachenko, who was the winner of the Grammy Award just not very long ago for Best Classical Compendium for this album. Congrats again, and thank you for spending a little time with us here on FM 91.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to meet you.